You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. As usual, as we're there into Thursday, we've got everything up you need to know to win your fantasy football matchup this week. I do well in DFS as well at Sporting News. Check out my start sit column, The Decider. That's in full swing there, as well as our positional rankings, sleepers, busts, alerts there with the team that we have on fantasy football at Sporting News. So check it out, as well as my picks against the spread, where I break things down on both sides of every matchup. And that's what we will continue to do here. As you know now, if you've been a regular listener to our new season here, we know that we do a double dose of matchup shows here. We did Matchup Wednesday, tackled half the games on the week three schedule. Now we have to get to the back end. No buys yet, so eight on Wednesday, eight on Thursday. We'll kind of mix that up when we have the buys, and they will be starting next week, by the way. So a couple teams off, including the 49ers. So that's something to keep in mind, that there's an early alert. But we got to dive into all the games we have to talk about this week, and another half of games here to complete the full slate of analysis for you. And we'll pick up where we left off. We talked about last with the Patriots-Jets, that big point spread with the Patriots 23.5. Well, the Cowboys are almost at that in their matchup against the Dolphins, 22.5 point favorites. They're at home. It's a 47 over-under, so actually a little bit higher than the Patriots-Jets game in a lopsided game. Now, you look at the Dolphins side, this is pretty easy. You're just avoiding all Dolphins. I mean, at some point you think Kenyon Drake or Preston Williams could have some value, but we're not seeing it because there's been plenty of chances for garbage time, and it's actually gotten worse for Miami with Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing a couple pick sixes last week, Josh Rosen not doing better in mop-up, so it's atrocious. Miami's just not getting anything done offensively, so avoid, avoid, avoid. Dallas, I like their defense. I just wouldn't go crazy expecting big points from their defense. They're just not a defense that makes a lot of big plays. I think they'll bend and don't break and be fine with that. They can get a lot of three and outs and all that, and the Dolphins may not score, so you could definitely get some points that way. But in terms of having a monster game, I don't know if they have enough playmakers there, but this could be the opportunity to get them going. But Dallas, regardless, is a must start on defense this week. Now, offensively, you're starting your principals, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper. Triplets are in. Who's out, literally, is Michael Gallup. He's got the meniscus issue. He's cleaning it up. So Devin Smith comes a hot sleeper here. Remember, this Dolphins team struggled against a deep ball already with Minka Fitzpatrick. They traded him to the Steelers. So you have Xavier Howard, who can be somewhat tricky on Cooper, but you can move around Cooper. I mean, if Howard's the only guy you're worried about in that defense altogether, things can get better for Cooper, and we've seen that's not been an issue for their opponents early, the Ravens and Patriots. So something to keep in mind a little bit, but again, I think Cooper, Elliott, Prescott should all have big games here. Devin Smith, the sleeper, stepping into the Michael Gallup deep threat role opposite Cooper there. Randall Cobb, there's been some pickup interest in him, but I don't get it because he's not really the replacement of Gallup. That would be Devin Smith. And they have Jason Witten also working the slot. Blake Jarwin, the other tight end, is being used. So Witten has scored in the past two games. So if you're desperate and you need a tight end, and tight end has been pretty bad here with David Njoku joining Hunter Henry on the shelf and O.J. Howard struggling and Eric Ebron not doing much, that you might have to reach for Witten. You can't argue the fact that he scored in the first two games, and they are looking to him in the red zone. They're playing off the running game. So there's that. You can get a cheap touchdown out of him for sure in this one if you need some tight end help here in week three. Again, not looking at Cobb, looking more Witten, not interested in Jarwin. I mean, you could reach deep hoping that they have a big lead and Tony Pollard does some mop-up work for Zeke, but that's about it. I think that's as far as you can extend it with the Cowboys, but again, you feel really good about having any shares of the Cowboys both in the season-long and DFS in week number 3. Now, we'll spend a little time on this game. We didn't think we were going to talk a lot about it as we pivot now to the 4 o'clock window there on Sunday. It's the Giants traveling to the Buccaneers. Buccaneers are favored by 7. I think that's pretty big. I don't think the Buccaneers are as good, and the Giants are not as bad. And they have a 48 over under the point total here. I look at this, and the main thing is that Eli Manning is benched. It's Daniel Jones in there starting. And I think this Giants offense, I don't think it changes all that much. It's still going to filter a lot through Saquon Barkley. Security blanket is still going to be Evan Engram at tight end. Now, one thing we have to look at receiver, things can kind of change there, but they're really hurting behind Sterling Shepard, who could return this week from a concussion, but Cody Latimer has a concussion here, and Golden Tate also out, still suspended. So some question marks to the number 2 receiver. Benny Fowler actually was very productive last week, PPR-wise, and we know he can score some short touchdowns. We know that the first touchdown that Jones threw in the preseason was to Fowler, finished off a drive. They have a pretty good connection there. So very deep sleeper. Not someone I'm looking at too much in season long, but maybe a punt fade, really cheap play there in DFS that you can look at there. And we'll talk about our lineups there for lineup Friday tomorrow. We'll have our DraftKings look there. But someone you can kind of mix in there, Devin Smith is in that mix as well. Really cheap if you're playing a tournament that can help you lock up some other positions and you can still get some 3K return on a guy like Fowler. So something to keep in mind. I think his value pumps up a little bit if Shepard can't play, because then the targets are certainly going to funnel to him, much like they did last week against the Bills. Now, Barkley you're going with. Evan Engram, tough game last week, but I think he rebounds. I think you're going to get the week 1 spike, but he can be solid. Remember, the Bucs really struggled with Greg Olsen last week. So Engram is a very solid play here. Barkley as well. Good smash spots for them. I don't think Daniel Jones is startable quite yet. I think there's some appeal. But this Bucs defense is not as bad as you think it is. Their pass rush is much better. They have a lot of clue now with Todd Bowles. So it's a little bit buyer beware there. I don't want to invest too much in Giants against Barkley and Engram are the must. Shepard and Fowler, if you're a little desperate, I would go there. But again, Daniel Jones, a little bit unpredictable in his first start, especially on the road against an improved defense. Now, on the Buccaneers side of things, you're firing up all your principals. James Winston, good rebound spot for him, I think. He did not turn over the ball there against the Panthers in week 2, which is a good sign. There might get O.J. Howard involved this week. That could be an overcorrection as well, that Bruce Arians, tight ends, and him are not friendly, and Howard particularly has not really lived up to what Bruce Arians has looked for in the tight end. They might see more of Cameron Braid in this one, but I think they have to use Howard at some point to get their offense revved up. This is a passing offense. I know they've wanted to run a little bit more, so Peyton Barber right now, got to pivot back to Barber over Ronald Jones as the preferred back if you're going to use a back from this game from Tampa. But Evans and Godwin, obviously, are automatic starts every week. Howard, I think this is a good rebound spot for him for sure. If they can get him one big play, which he's a big play tight end, so that's the key, is getting him downfield. But you figure a lot of the coverage attention with Janoris Jenkins is going to go to Evans, opening it up nicely for Godwin and Howard. So there will be those opportunities this week for the Bucs. And again, if you need Barber, reach and use him. I think if you've had Winston as a potential QB1, this is a chance to deploy him here at home in this particular week and feel good about it. Again, I think this game is going to be a little closer, and that's good news for the Giants. Buccaneers both producing pretty well here overall. I kind of like the Giants to steal this game, at least cover, so that's going to help Barkley and Engram as well with their production staying in this game. We'll talk about the next wave of games here in this late window in a moment, but first I got to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Great underwear, socks, undershirts, anything you need there at Mack Weldon. You can get 20% off your first order at Mack Weldon. All you have to do is visit mackweldon.com and enter the promo code Locked On. We'll be right back here to continue our look at the 4 o'clock window games on the Week 3 NFL schedule. All right, let's pick up here with a game that has some big change here going on. The Panthers travel to face the Cardinals, 0-2 versus 0-1-1. And with the Panthers, it's not looking good for Cam Newton, folks. I mean, he wasn't looking good already. I mean, he's now pretty droppable in most leagues. If you're in a shallow league, I don't think he needs to be owned at this point. He wasn't running. Now he's hurt. He's got the foot injury that's real. After Thursday night game, we thought he would heal a little bit. Nope, that's not the case. Walking boot, looks like he's definitely out for this week, maybe much longer than that. So Kyle Allen, it's not Will Greer time yet. I know they like that pick from West Virginia, but Kyle Allen, the guy who filled in, they had last year was decent in a garbage spot there late where there wasn't much on the line for the other team. Kyle Allen, again, a healthy Kyle Allen getting the ball down the field. Some of these guys might actually be a little bit of improvement. DJ Moore has been okay in the first three games. Curtis Samuel got revved up in game two, and Greg Olsen has been pretty solid here. So, again, you figure they're going to lean a lot on these guys. And you figure the Cardinals with Vance Joseph, they're going to key in and try to cut down on Christian McCaffrey. By the way, the Cardinals' run defense was terrible last year, much maligned. But you look at Kerryon Johnson and Mark Ingram, they've been held in check here. And that part of it is the Joseph influence. They're a little bit healthier up in the middle. We thought their pass defense would be a mess, but kind of contained there on the outside, but they really struggle against tight ends. So Greg Olsen is in a great spot this week after the big games from T.J. Hockenson and Mark Andrews. Certainly he's the same type of tight end, slippery, and can get there in the open field. So I expect Allen to look at Olsen quite a bit. Again, Moore can do things after the catch, so short passes for him. May not get the Curtis Samuel attention downfield that you would like against a Patrick Peterson, like without defense, and that's going to be the thing without Cam. And Kyle Allen can throw deep, but I figure they're going to go more conservative here, get the ball out of his hands to McCaffrey, Olsen, and Moore, and try to make things happen there. So Christian McCaffrey obviously in a potential smash spot, but keep in mind the Cardinals could definitely key in on him with their improved run defense the way the Bucs did and really curtail him. I think you'll have a much better game than that, but something to keep in mind that also could hurt McCaffrey's value without Newton and the threat of him running. You know Allen is not going to be running, so that changes things a little bit for Christian McCaffrey. I think he's going to be fine and produce, and he's going to be the lifeblood of this offense even more so. So I wouldn't worry too much there. Now, on the Cardinals side of things, I mean, this is a great spot for Kyler Murray because you look at this Panthers secondary, they can be spread out. They've had issues already with James Bradbury and Dante Jackson. They're not very good in the nickel package either. They're really not good in coverage in general around Luke Kuechly. So you can work around, spread around here, Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, they're in your lineups. It's hard to stretch to former Panther Damir Bird or Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, these guys are going to be involved in those four receiver sets that are pretty frequent for the Cardinals. The wrinkle is David Johnson out of the backfield also being involved in these sets, and he can create a nightmare here. So far, I've really not liked the Panthers' coverage overall and run defense. So David Johnson is a pretty good spot there. Fitzgerald and Kirk look like they're going to be staples of this offense, given the high volume and how many attempts Kyler Murray is having. So Murray, even without his running, I think can yield a very good home fantasy day today, improving on the first game against the Lions here from week number one that he played at home. So Kyler Murray, good sleeper start there. I think Fitzgerald is a must start now as a wide receiver two. Kirk is looking good as a wide receiver three. And David Johnson is going to yield you better RB1 value than he did in Baltimore last week, where he salvaged his day with a touchdown. Now let's turn to the Seahawks game. They're at hosting the Saints here. It's the line now is up 4.5 in favor of the Seahawks. 45 is the over-under there. With this game, we know what's going on with the Saints. There's no Drew Brees. He hurt his right thumb. He needed surgery. He's going to be out 6 weeks, basically six games, because they do a bye. Then he'll return there in week 10. But Teddy Bridgewater was the presumed starter, and I wrote about this in SportingNews.com, that I thought they'd work in Taysom Hill or maybe even run with Taysom Hill as the quarterback and kind of do some option, kind of untraditional quarterback looks. Well, Sean Payton certainly hinted to that in his press conference where someone just assumed, okay, do you limit Taysom Hill because now he's your second quarterback? He said, who said he was the number two quarterback? So that left the door open. Maybe they're going to do a 2-QB system, the old-school college approach, the throwing quarterback, so to speak, and Teddy Bridgewater, and the running quarterback coming in as a change of pace. I'm not exactly saying this is Chris Leak and Tim Tebow from Florida and their championship run there, but looking overall, I mean, you look at Taysom Hill, I think he can bring more to this offense right now. Keep in mind here that Jared Cook's not doing much. You have Michael Thomas as a clear number one, but Tre'Quan Smith probably going to miss the game with an ankle injury. Keith Kirkwood, the kid they liked last year working the slot at times, he's on injured reserve here. Ted Ginn is banged up a little bit as well. So they're really not positioned to throw the ball around the park. And Drew Brees, I mean, you appreciate him more being able to do that in this offense. So they do have a very good offensive line. They have Alvin Kamara. Get Taysom Hill in there, throw some wrinkles. I think that can help Kamara get going here. So figure Kamara and Thomas are going to be fine overall. Kamara bottled up a boot by the Rams. Thomas was fine last week, but yeah, the Seahawks secondary is pretty bad. So Thomas should get open. They also are missing free safety Tedrick Thompson there. No more Earl Thomas on this team. So Jared Cook should be able to get going as more of a security blanket there for Teddy Bridgewater. Remember Bridgewater dating back to the Minnesota days. Really leaned a lot on Kyle Rudolph. So this could be good for Jared Cook and his value increasing as they have wide receiver issues. Bridgewater's going to get the ball out of his hands more quickly, more running oriented, shorter intermediate passes. We know Michael Thomas does that very well, catching those 8-9 yard routes. And Cook should be involved here as well as Kamara. So I think it's good for all of them. That's not saying I want to go with Teddy Bridgewater. Because, again, lack of downfield throwing, the potential of Taysom Hill coming in there, stealing touches, and being involved there, maybe throwing a few passes. I think, again, Hill in the game really helps Kamara because it creates another rushing threat, much like the Ravens last year with Lamar Jackson, how to open things up for Gus Edwards to produce in certain games and Kenneth Dixon as well. So I think there's very legitimate parallels to that team with here, Michael Thomas and Cook being your guys, a little bit of upgrade, and Kamara more dynamic back than the Ravens had last year. Now, on the Seahawks side, you look at this, spent a lot of time on the Saints, but there are some changes, so you have to adjust to those in your fantasy football lineups and philosophy. The Seahawks, there's not much change. They still want to run the ball very well, and the Saints typically have been good against the run here. They're solid up the middle, but they've really struggled here out of the gate. And Chris Carson, that's a chance to get going. Problem is Chris Carson did have those fumbles last week that got him a little on the bench there, and Rashad Penny took over and had a nice run. So that Carson thing with the dominant number one and being involved in all the touches, that's a little bit up in the air now. Carson, they still like him. Obviously, they're not going to punish him that much, but he does have some durability issues, and you know that Penny is a kid that's improving, and we've seen that since the middle of last year is the first round pick. So at some point, if Carson goes off the wheels, I think you have to have Rashad Penny there to back up. In this particular game, this is a good game for Carson at home, particularly. He's better producing there. The Seahawks should be playing with a lead, so that helps. Yeah, the Saints run defense again, weirdly slow and disappointing here. They struggle a lot against Carlos Hyde there in week one. And week two, we know that Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown got to them. So I think Seahawks don't have the same type of offensive line, but Carson, they're dedicated to the run. That should be fine. In terms of the receiving core, Tyler Lockett, there's nothing scary about the Saints secondary at this point. I mean, Marshon Lattimore is trying to do his best, but getting no help from Eli Apple there and P.J. Williams. So great news because they can move Lockett in the slot and take advantage of the P.J. Williams matchup at times. You have D.K. Metcalf who can maybe get to work there on Apple at times. You figure the coverage attention has to go to Lockett when he's on the outside there. So that's good news for both of those guys as the primary receivers by far. Will Disley, I would pump the brakes on. I mean, part of it is teams prefer to attack the Saints' corners, but part of it also the Saints are not bad at safety and linebacker and coverage where they can slow some things down there. So that's it. So Disley's going to cool down, but if you're looking a little bit ahead and you got George Kittle on a bye next week, Will Disley getting the Cardinals next week, and that's a great matchup for Disley and what he can do. So I really like that. And then good stash. Disley is solid tight end two that you can have right now. Not ready to be a tight end one. He did get good usage and targets, but this team's about running the ball and throwing deep, old school with Russell Wilson. And that's more about where the production was going to come. So DK Metcalf starting to come in the conversation with two very nice games as a rookie, as a consistent wide receiver through your lineup behind Tyler Lockett. locked in as a wide receiver too in most weeks. Now, the last game we'll talk about in this segment before we take another break, the Texans and the Chargers, interesting game, good potential for some fantasy football points. Now, Chargers are favored, basically a toss-up game, but with the -3, that's the home field. 47.5 here is the over-under. Let's start with the Texans. This is a good game for Carlos Hyde. I mean, he's looked very good. The Chargers can be wilting against the power running game. Hyde has really taken approach here, and it's really hurt Duke Johnson. And it's not a game where I don't think the Chargers are going to pull away from the Texans. It's going to be pretty tight. So Hyde should get his touches here. Johnson's been okay in a PPR, but Hyde really reduced his value in a hurry here. And kind of what the Browns' offense would have looked like last year if it had been Hyde and Johnson being like that. So Texans rolling with that. Now, there's a little concern with Deshaun Watson because they're running a little bit more and effectively, and that takes away just the willy-nilly downfield passing. DeAndre Hopkins is a little banged up. He was slowed down last week against the Jaguars. Will Fuller didn't do much, and Watson basically made his day okay with the rushing touchdown. So a little bit of concern early with this Texans offense. You thought, okay, Laremy Tunsil's in here. Let's lock and load here. Left tackle, and we'll be fine with Watson. But I do think he'll rebound. But keep in mind the Chargers secondary is pretty good, and they have a pretty good pass rush as well. And Tunsil's struggled a little bit. He's a little bit hurting coming into this game for the Texans as well. So keep that in mind. So, I mean, you're still going with Watson. You drafted him pretty high as the next quarterback or third quarterback behind Patrick Mahomes. So you got to keep rolling with him. That's where you tied your fade a little bit. But again, hopefully he runs a little bit to get his production and he can find some good matchups there. But Desmond King in the slot can really slow down things in the middle. And you got Casey Hayward who can keep at least DeAndre Hopkins in check for another week. Hopkins is too good to have two bad overall games in a row. I think he could certainly get a touchdown here or piece together an 80 to 100-yard day, but again, Hayward is a tough draw here. The Chargers haven't been exactly shut down of late with Kenny Galladay having a big game, T.Y. Hilton having a big game, so Hopkins is still there. He can fight through it, but that may limit the damage Watson can do overall. And again, Hyde, I would want to feed him a lot if I'm Houston this particular week, and you're going to avoid Houston's defense. You're going to avoid the Chargers' defense as well. This could turn into a bit of a high-scoring affair. I think the Chargers could do a lot of damage on the ground as well in this one. Austin Eckler has been on fire. They're leaning on him a lot. You can throw to the backs against Houston. We saw Alvin Kamara have a pretty good game in the passing game. Leonard Fournette was pretty okay last week. Eckler's just been looking very good here and explosive, so they want to get the ball to him. This is a great spot again for Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Allen, a little bit banged up, but Williams played through the knee injury last week, so those two guys had to be in their lineup. Keenan Allen is a borderline wide receiver one. Mike Williams more is a borderline wide receiver two or three this week. A tight end, losing Hunter Henry really helps, again, Williams' value overall because they're going to look to him a lot. So Williams and Eckler get a boost there without Hunter Henry. Allen is pretty much static and solid here. For the Chargers, I don't love Phillip Rivers. He's a tough guy to trust week in and week out. You want to get to 215-2. That's the baseline, but things can get ugly like they did last week against the Lions. He's typically a little bit better at home, so if you need him, use him, but I just think he has a limited ceiling overall with his offense. If Eckler's going to be a big part running the ball, as well as Justin Jackson, and the defense is good, that definitely limits the ceiling without Henry in there. And you're pretty much trusting a lot in Allen and Williams for his production here in 2019. The final games that we'll talk about are right around the corner. But first, I got to tell you guys, it's almost the end of a hard week. We know what's coming at the end of it. We can sit down and take some time off and just watch some football, college, and NFL there. And as fantasy football players, we love watching game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, especially if they're involving players that we have, or running backs going off at the end of the game, like Leonard Fournette taking off and doing his thing there for a long touchdown, or Derrick Henry. And we know there's nothing like the NFL to enjoy that experience in fantasy football. There's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them as well. So you got to do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any sports book that you'll find online. Don't forget, where you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I like to play when I look at these games and where you should be doing too. And it's great. MyBookie has some of the best player perks in the business that you can check out as well. And you can also play different type of games. You can bet on fantasy football player props, over under on the number of points a player will score in a given week, as well as parlays where you can bet a little and potentially win a lot. If all your picks come through, you can multiply your winnings. And that, if you join MyBookie, they will double your first deposit there. It's easy. Yeah, you just take the promo code Locked On there to activate the offer. That's right. Promo code Locked On will help you double your first deposit at MyBookie. Visit MyBookie.ag today. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back here to close the show with our final three matchups here of week number three. All right, let's pick up three more games here. We have one more in the 4 o'clock window there on Sunday, then the primetime game Sunday night and Monday night to talk about as well. The last of the 4 o'clock games is the Steelers and 49ers, yet another game involving a team that's lost her quarterback playing out on the West Coast. Ben Roethlisberger done for the season. So Mason Rudolph, again, I wouldn't yet put him in my lineup just quite yet. I get there's the weapons there. Juju Smith-Schuster, he has that Oklahoma State connection with James Washington. But I want to see a little bit with Mason Rudolph, kind of like Gardner Minshew. I want to see a good sample size where I'm going to trust him and put him into the fantasy sphere of trust here in terms of wanting to play him in that Andy Dalton range of quarterbacks, so to speak. So Rudolph certainly has some talent. There's some talent around him, pretty good offensive line. But my concern here is that James Conner is looking really banged up for the Steelers. He says he's going to try to play through it, but knees are tricky. He's had knee issues in the past there for sure. So they've been trying to limit his touches to begin with. So Jalen Samuels and Benny Snell, that could be an ugly little committee there that the Steelers need to lean on. And that's going to potentially hurt to what Rudolph can do downfield. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to see probably Richard Sherman a lot in this game. And Sherman, again, can be beat at certain times. I mean, last week's game, they were having a great time until late in the game where you saw John Ross catch a long touchdown on the outside. So you can work the 49ers a little bit in the slot. And we saw that with Tyler Boyd last week. So Juju, that's the key, is trying to get him inside. But the problem is, you need two outside receivers to trust there. And Dante Moncrief's hard to trust there beyond James Washington as the big play threat. You need somebody else, Moncrief or Deontay Johnson, the rookie, to do that to help Juju get in the slot and get what he wants there on the inside route. So he's going to have some burden on him to be on the outside. And when you look at what Washington can do, hopefully this will rev him up as a deep threat. They did have a good connection in the preseason. They've connected on a lot of long touchdowns over the years, both there in Stillwater and now in Pittsburgh, when it doesn't count. So let's see if they can put it to the test there. So Washington, a bit of a sleeper this week, especially with the Sherman-Juju matchup, maybe containing him on the outside. You got to find someone else. Kelo Witherspoon has been actually been playing very well the 49ers. Had high hopes for him. He was really terrible last year. Rebounded in the scheme a little bit. Part of his pass rush for the 49ers has been pretty good. So if I'm investing, if you had a Connor, I think you have to look at playing Samuels this week because he can get involved in the passing game. Juju is in your lineup. If you're deeper, this is a shot I take on Washington for sure in leagues. And I liked him in DFS tournaments last week. Didn't quite work out with the Ben injury and the Seahawks taking control of that game there. But maybe a chance to rebound here with his college QB. On the other side of things for the 49ers, I like their defense as a rookie. Technically, I mean, he's in his second year, Mason Rudolph from Oklahoma State, but in essence, the guy making his first road start in the NFL. The 49ers have been very good in producing some points here early in the season. Monstrous game against Jameis Winston. Pretty solid game there last week against Andy Dalton. So if the Steelers are forced to pass more without Connor, more opportunities to rush the passer, create turnovers, and Rudolph did have an interception in his relief stint last week. So keep all that in mind. 49ers team making a ton more plays than they did last year. It's just insane. So they love the opportunities. Quan Alexander has been a beast. So if he's not looking Rudolph in the middle of the field, Alexander can make some plays. Here, we'll see if Jaquiski Tartt plays. Maybe look at Vance McDonald a little bit, but I think Vance McDonald is a guy that I would keep parked here because of Alexander and some of their coverage on the middle of the field. Now, in terms of the 49ers' offensive principles, Jimmy Garoppolo at home looked pretty good. If you need him, the Steelers have been giving him a lot of big plays. I know they added Minkah Fitzpatrick to be their new safety. Sean Davis went on IR, so that's an upgrade there from Davis. But Joe Hayden is banged up with the shoulder. Steven Nelson really hasn't given much return, the former Chief. So when you look at that, I think you're not going to stretch here. I think if you need Deebo Samuel, use him. But it's kind of like a committee approach. They want to involve Dante Pettis more. Marquise Goodwin is a deep threat. I really can't go any more than Deebo Samuel in PPR here for the 49ers receiving core. I think this is a good smash spot for George Kittle. He's been pretty slow, 54 receiving yards in each game. He had busy with the 8 catches in the first game, only 3 in the second game. So hopefully this is the chance to get going. He's overdue for a touchdown. The regression to the mean is going to happen here with him, and I think he produces here in week number 3. And playing off Samuel, getting some other receivers involved is only going to help him. Now in the backfield, if you need Matt Breida and Raheem Mostert, I think Breida has a little bit more value. He's the slight lead back without Tevin Coleman, so better RB2 flex play. I think Mostert is a flex consideration in deeper leagues. Jeff Wilson, I know you pilfered the 2 touchdowns, but you're literally touchdown dependent there. And when you saw really good production from Breida and Mostert beyond Wilson having that, they're not going to rush for 259 yards again, but I think Breida and Mostert definitely have some upside behind this offensive line and a good running team and a good offense in general playing complementary football with their defense. Now we turn to the Rams-Browns game in primetime. This is a 49 over-under. Really, we don't have any 50-point over-unders in week number 3. That's interesting for sure. So not a lot of big high-scoring games we're expecting. Part of this, the Rams are going to grind a little bit in this one. So I don't like Jared Goff. He's on the road. It hasn't looked good, really, for the receivers. Robert Woods has done nothing. Cooper Kupp is the only one guy that's produced here in the slot. Brandon Cooks made a big play last week for a touchdown to kind of save his value. But other than that, it hasn't been great. And keep in mind that Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams now on the other side for the Browns. Pretty good secondary there overall to help curtail some of the things that the Rams do offensively. You're still playing these three guys because you drafted them pretty high, all in that wide receiver 2 range. And Kupp is the guy I feel the best about. But keep in mind, the Browns also look pretty good in the slot in the first 2 games. Adam Humphries and Jamison Crowder didn't do much at all against them in the last 2 games. So it'll be interesting. I think this is a bit of a grinding game. The Browns can be run on. So I think a lot of Todd Gurley, a little bit of Malcolm Brown behind him, help Jared Goff on the road. This could actually be a very disappointing game in terms of the scoring potential in this one. So overall, I think it's really Rams running game. That's where I'm investing in most. Not interested in Goff or the wide receivers in DFS. Todd Gurley definitely has some upside here. Returning home, so to speak, the former Cleveland Rams and Todd Gurley in the house of Jim Brown. Maybe he'll get going here. But big game last year for Todd Gurley relative to his touches. I think it's only going to get better from there. So it's a Gurley game and a defense game, I think, more for the Rams that you're looking at with Baker Mayfield turning over the ball and this offensive line being horrible. I think the Rams can get some sacks and do some damage here in week 3, but just limit your expectations on their wide receiver core for now, especially with Goff in an uncomfortable road environment with the Browns defense and Myles Garrett. Someone's going to be pumped. You could look at the Browns defense if you want. They get that primetime bump. Again, it's tough for the Rams. They don't really turn over the ball that much if they don't produce, so keep that in mind with the Browns, but Myles Garrett is a beast, and there's potential here for some sacks, and Goff could make a few mistakes in this one atypically. So if you need them, go that way if you don't want to make a change after you play them against the Jets last week. In terms of their offense, Baker Mayfield, I think he's going to have to throw in this one quite a bit. The volume is going to be there, so you got to have him in your lineup. They throw the ball a lot. just by the pure volume alone and going downfield. I think they're going to adjust a little bit, get the ball out of his hands. So maybe some things spreading around for Jarvis Landry. Finally, he's been quiet here, but it's just hard to trust Landry at this point. The only person I really want is Odell Beckham Jr. in this passing game. David Njoku, the concussion and the wrist, he's out of there, so he's not there. Antonio Callaway still not there with the suspension. We got Rashad Higgins, who missed last week's game, nursing a knee injury here. So Odell Beckham Jr. is really the only source here, but that can be a good enough source and a random somebody else, maybe Demetrius Harris, the backup tight end, helping Mayfield have a solid fantasy day here overall. And I think the Rams are going to control this game, and should be some things for Mayfield garbage. Nick Chubb is in your lineup blocking every week. He'll be a little bit motivated. Todd Gurley is a former Georgia teammate, kind of the guy who succeeded there on the other side, and Chubb is just a stud. They need to get him the ball more in general in Cleveland here in this game. Finally, we talk about the Bears-Redskins. Not much to talk about here. Mitchell Trubisky is one of my sleepers of the week. The Redskins secondary is bad. Josh Norman is very overrated. Allen Robinson, I like him to do some damage here. I like Taylor Gabriel. He's a bit of a contrarian sleeper that you can look at here on Monday night if you really need him. Just a shot play guy. He's been on the field quite a bit. It doesn't seem like it because Trubisky struggled there to get the ball to the wide receiver. So Allen Robinson I do like. I mean, people are going to fade him, but Norman's not scary. Fabian Moreau and Quentin Dunbar are also hurting here. So that's why the Redskins are struggling on the back end. So Trubisky, we know he eats up some big, bad matchups like this, and this is one of those where his running and passing can come alive a little bit on Monday night and make Bears feel a little bit better about him as they improved to 2-1. I really like David Montgomery in this game. Tariq Cohen, the usage is questionable right now in the slot versus him and Anthony Miller, so no, not interested in that combination. So David Montgomery and Allen Robinson, and if you're deep and you're struggling, two QB leagues, Trubisky is where you would go. On the Redskins side, I can't recommend anything. This is pretty simple. No Case Keenum, no Terry McLaurin, no Chris Thompson, no Adrian Peterson. If you need anything here, if you're desperate to get a tight end at Vernon Davis, the Bears are giving up some to the tight end here early in the season, but touchdown dependent there, and that's what you're hoping for, is that Davis gets the only touchdown if Jordan Reed, again, misses another game. So there you have it. There's another matchup show for you. Matchup Thursdays in the books for week number 3. Don't forget, we'll be back to close the week. We do have Friday show now. Lineup Friday, looking at our DFS thoughts here on the prices on DraftKings, trying to construct some good lineups there for both cash games and tournaments, and as well as takeaways from that hopefully exciting fantasy football bonanza, Thursday night football of the Titans and the Jaguars. So we'll have takeaways from that game, get you DFS thinking there with the numbers on DraftKings, and then close with our look at the injury updates you need to know for Sunday and Monday games for filling out your lineups. So there you have it for Locked On Fantasy Football for Matchup Thursday. This is Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.